Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to SJS here on this Thursday afternoon. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pirates today. Rob Beertemple is going to join us today from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Tomorrow, Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Mel Proctor will join us tomorrow. And also tomorrow, we'll have Steve Samsel. But today, Rob Beertemple, the beat writer for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, to talk about what has been a magical summer for the Pittsburgh Pirates and how expectations have dramatically changed. This club has played brilliantly most of the season. They had one little hiccup early in the month of July. Then they closed the month of July with a flourish. Now we make the turn into August, and Rob will join us from Pittsburgh to talk about the Bucks. Then I mentioned tomorrow, Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. Mel Proctor tomorrow on his book, I Love the Work, But I Hate the Business. And we'll talk to him. And he's the guy that broadcast, by the way, the Fiesta Bowl on radio. And we have his call tomorrow. That I think Mel's going to get a kick out of hearing his call again. Back from night to the 87 Fiesta Bowl. And we're also going to have Steve Samsel, media critic, on tomorrow as well. We're going to talk about several things with him, including the Rec Hall game, because he was at the announcement the other day, but also about the launch of Fox Sports 1 that's coming up. Kevin Herr is back today. He's taken, I think, what, 70 or 80 different vacation days so far this year. Fabulous to have that he'll make a cameo appearance with us today. Looking forward to that. It's also the month of August, Kevin's favorite month of the year. In fact, we did extensive polling across America. And the other 11 months all had support. There was only one vote for August. First of all, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. Like a 2005 Lexus ES330 sedan. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. Ford Fusion 5-door SE, just $12,995. 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan, front-wheel drive, $14,997. 2010 Honda Odyssey EXL, the perfect minivan for traveling, $24,643. 2011 Jeep Wrangler 2-door Rubicon, $24,997. And a 2012 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $145. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on, let's go. Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time, too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're going to play it through light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
Now, if that doesn't get you ready for football season, I don't have anything to... I don't know what to tell you. John Facenda, of course, Power and the Glory, one of my favorite CDs. Play that every August because, you know, August is my favorite month, quite simply. Now, why? We've talked about it many times. It's my favorite month because football starts. Baseball is just winding down a little bit, getting ready for playoff runs. High school football gets underway here in a little less than a week and a half. Of course, college football's moments away. And speaking of college football, we have our first coaches poll. Yes, that's right. The preseason coaches poll, where basically it shouldn't be any different than the end of last season because there have been no games. But instead, there are changes. Go figure. I don't know. I'm sorry. If you're the number one team in the nation, I don't care if you graduated every single player on your offense and defense as starters. It doesn't matter. You still should be the number one team until somebody beats you. And it actually kind of worked that way anyway, because Alabama is the number one team with 58 first-place votes from the coaches' poll. Ohio State comes in second with 3 first-place votes, followed by Oregon, Stanford, and Georgia, rounding out the top 5. And then the only other team to get a first-place vote...
It's about time you did some work.
...was Texas A&M, Steve.
About time you did some work. When's your next vacation? Tuesday?
I'd like to, but no. I think I'm good for a while. It's August. I got to get prepared now.
It's August. Your favorite month.
And as I said a few minutes ago, explain to me how you can have a coaches poll where the number one team in the nation is not the team that won the national championship last year. Now, it's not that way. Alabama is the number one team in the poll. But I've seen years where the number one team was not the number one team to start the year. How do you not be the number one team if you've not been beaten yet? I don't care if you graduate everybody. You're still the number one team until somebody beats you.
This last vacation you took.
Uh-huh.
Did it involve a lot of adult beverages?
No, it did not. Okay. It did not. I don't care if you graduate everybody. Until you get beaten on the field, it doesn't matter.
Kevin, yes. It's a new year.
I realize it's a new year. Okay. I'm well aware.
Okay, it's a new year. Okay, so when you put together these polls, I honestly believe that you shouldn't even have one until after September 30th. But that's a
100% behind you there.
But I also understand why they do it. I mean, they do it for a specific reason.
To get people interested in football.
It generates interest in college football in the game, and that's fine. Right. I understand that. I mean, that's not an issue at all. I look at you put the team that when you look at them based in 2013 terms. Okay, Alabama was voted by winning the number one team in the country at the end of last season.
Correct.
They should be the number one team in the last poll. But as many coaches will tell you, and I've been around many over the years that have had successful runs, that have won consecutive national championships and so forth, they tell you that each team, even if you have a lot of people returning, is different. You lose certain people off that team that had a certain dynamic to them. You add people to a team that add a dynamic to them. And sometimes you lose a lot of people. Now, Alabama going into this season, number one, they have a lot of people back on defense. They have Yeldon, who's just a fabulous running back, and they have their quarterback back. And A.J. McCarron, who's a good, solid college quarterback. Not flash and dash of Johnny Manziel, not the skill level of Braxton Miller, but A.J. McCarron is more of an NFL quarterback than Manziel or Taylor Martinez, or Braxton Miller. He has more NFL skill sets than they do. It's going to be a question of when they sit down and take a good look at his arm and whether he throws that 33-yard out, how well he does that. They'll take a long look at that. But he has better NFL skill sets than anybody. And Yeldon, as you know, when I talked last season a lot about Alabama, as much as everybody loved Eddie Lacy, I was a big T.J. Yeldon fan and said, look, this is the guy that's the difference maker. Ironically, in the end, against LSU and then against Georgia, which guy ended up being the difference maker? T.J. Yeldon. So, I mean, that's why they're ranked number one in the country. Oregon is a bit puzzling to me in that they've changed coaches. And a coaching change, even if it's somebody that's on the staff, still brings with it change, and you're out of routine because of change. So I find that interesting. But these polls don't hold up. They hold in the opening month, don't hold up because there is far more parity in college football because of the 85 scholarship rule than ever before.
Well, I don't like coaches' polls in the first place because few coaches.
They don't vote.
You know, it's like Nick Saban watches Boise State, so he's aware of what Boise State's doing? Probably not.
Yeah, but these polls don't matter anyway. They're not going to count when it comes to the national championship anyway.
Not anymore.
No, so it's not going to it's going to be no big deal. The poll's a poll. This tells you where people are ranked or going in. Penn State received no votes, by the way. So
didn't the same thing happen last year, though, with Ohio State?
Well, yeah, if you're on probation, right, you don't get votes in this thing. That's why. You're not allowed to be voted for.
That's what I thought that was the rule with that, too, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you're not. Written or unwritten,
I'm not sure. But.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be. So just so fans know. So you're saying, why isn't Penn State there?
Correct.
There's a reason Penn State has no votes because of. Coming up today, Rob Beer Temple, who is the beat writer for the Pirates. They've won four straight against the Cardinals. We'll talk to Rob. Tomorrow, Mel Proctor, former Orioles, Nationals, Rangers, Padres, Bullets, Wizards, Nets, Clippers announcer.
That's versatility.
Well, but also, you know, for fans, let me tip you off as to Mel Proctor and where he has his play. And by the way, he worked at one point with Jack Ham, as a matter of fact. So we share that together. But Mel has called many great moments in his career.
State, their defense has answered the call all night. Here it comes. One play for the national championship.
Fourth and goal from the 13. Perriman's pushed to the left. Blades is wide to the right. Back goes Testaverde trying to win it. Throws into the end zone. It's intercepted again. Picked off by Pete Giftopoulos. And Giftopoulos has gift-wrapped the Penn State National Championship.
That's Mel Proctor.
Love that call.
No, it's great. It's a brilliant call. Absolutely brilliant. So tomorrow, Steve Samsel, Mel Proctor, Josh Moyer of ESPN.com, all on tomorrow's show. Rob Beer Temple coming up at the bottom of the hour.
And
because you've been gone so much, we've just loaded up on guests and kind of pretty much eliminated your position.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you take some time off. Whoever's in the number two slot gets ready to go.
Some time off?
Yeah. That's correct.
Take a look at your calendar.
That's correct. It's been a very busy summer. Hey, Mike Muscala is going to be playing in Spain. Announced it last night via his Twitter feed. He is still available and still could be a member of the Hawks, but right now will play his next basketball in Spain for a team I can't pronounce.
I guess that eliminates you from being their play-by-play guy.
Exactly. Is it Blusens, Monbus, or Dario? I don't know. Find it at stevejonesshow.com.
Most second-round picks end up playing a little European ball. Okay? So it's not a big surprise. And that's fine. It'll benefit Mike. It'll be great for Mike. As a matter of fact, I think it'll be great for Mike. Get the kind of professional experience overseas.
Well, and we did talk to him about a month ago, right after the draft. He was getting ready for the Las Vegas Summer League, averaged about 6 points a game and 3 rebounds in the playing time he saw there.
That's good. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. I think that, like I said, that'll be good for Mike. That'll be very, very good. He'll get great benefit out of that. So he's going to play in Spain.
You thought sure the first comment I was going to make was going to be about the Phillies not making any deals.
No, I really didn't.
I had
zero expectations about anything you were going to do today.
Zero expectations or zero interest? Don't answer that. Thank you.
28 and a half after the hour.
What is there, an over-under here that I'm not aware of? You had to announce the time? Did somebody win some money on me here?
Well, between Sean Carey, Drew Kelly, Lawrence, myself, Allie, Cody even got in a little bit. Sarah didn't want to. She was reluctant. She said the heck of it. We have a little something going on dealing with you.
I can only imagine.
Yes, you could only imagine.
I can only imagine.
I can only imagine. Rob Beer Temple is the beat writer for the Pirates, covering the Pirates for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's going to join us at 3:35. Tomorrow, Steve Samsel, Josh Moyer, Mel Proctor. You're going to love hearing from Mel. One of the real legends in our business. I'm at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's back. I even mentioned it on the promo. That's how important I felt it was.
I was excited.
It's August. Kind of a dead month except for one guy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The three hottest sports stories right now are A-Rod being suspended eventually, the Pirates scorching hot from the depths to first place, and the Kevin Herr return as August is upon us.
I knew that was coming.
I mean, Lawrence and I have it cooking. We are taking you, and we're giving you a name that you never had before.
Oh, there's a name. By the way, I'm really thrilled that I am up in the top stories along with A-Rod. That's great, by the way.
Well, I mean, the last few days, how you and A-Rod have been similar.
How, pray tell, is that?
Neither one of you are doing anything.
No.
All right, so.
Nicely done.
Thank you. I'm back, by the way, for the 7 o'clock show, and don't forget to have the veal. All right. Rob Beer Temple is the beat writer for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, covering the Pittsburgh Pirates. Rob, my old friend, welcome back. It's great to hear from you.
Hey, what's the big news of the basketball program? You got to tell me. You can scoop here.
Oh. Well, I can tell you. I think you have a pretty good guess what it is. So.
Yeah, I think
you got a pretty
good. How's it going out there, man?
It's going really well. I mean, really well. Excited for the season to start up here. Excited for when Patrick gets to his season for that. And you're involved in an exciting season right now. Look, I've told people, I said, it's tough. I was talking about Greg Brown the other day because he really loved the Alvarez home run. Like, he didn't just love it, like, he loved it. You know? And I said, you know what? As people don't realize that if you're broadcasting for a team that is struggling, you know, when you finally get to that moment, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Writing and covering and being around guys all the time, what has this summer been like for you?
Well, I mean, it's definitely been different than the previous, 19 or so that I've been around the club in that sense. But it's also, I mean, yeah, you look at it in a bunch of different ways. Yes, it's more work, but it also is work that you haven't had a chance to do. You know
right,
what I mean?
Sure.
Here in Pittsburgh. So in that sense, you are writing. It breaks up the drudgery of, you know, every year at this time, you're always trying to come up with new angles on a season that is kind of gone into the toilet. And it's nice this year, as it's kind of been the past 2 years, to sort of think of new angles on a season that shows some promise, and not only for this year, but you think about how it might spin off into upcoming years and whatnot. So from that sense, it makes the job a lot better. And I'm sure I'm just judging from the reaction of the fans last night at PNC, it's a lot better for them as well. I mean, it was a great crowd that they had there yesterday. I was a little surprised, actually, the first game of the series, the crowd was just kind of there and cheering at the appropriate times, but not really getting into it. But yesterday they were all out soaking up, trade rumors, first place on the line, doubleheader, nice sunny day. It was just a perfect situation.
It sure is. And right now they have the best record in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an idea. Seasons can write themselves. The easiest seasons are great seasons. They broadcast themselves, and I think in some ways they write themselves. How much are the creative juices tested when it's not right?
Well, I mean, it can be a challenge in some ways, but at the same time, whenever things aren't going right, there's also a lot of options then, you know, as well as to who, you know, who's going to be hired or fired or brought in or traded or drafted or whatnot. So I think, you know, each season in its own way, there are different things to explore and different challenges with it. And that's I don't know if this one is any easier or harder than others. I mean, in some ways, you know, when people think that, you know, whenever a team wins, it's always, you know, it's always better, you know, to cover a winning team. And I get, you know, in some ways it is, just people are just naturally happier and in better moods and whatnot. But it's also more of a challenge because, I mean, look at these past couple of weeks, there's been twice as many people in that clubhouse, twice as many media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ESPN has been in there when they haven't been around for decades. See more local to, you know, people who just, you know, get on the bandwagon, and that makes things more complicating for you. It's harder just to think, to move about, to talk to people. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody has less free time and whatnot. So in that way, it's right. Kind of a, you know, a downer.
Right. The second wild card spot, so many more teams are in the running for it in both leagues. Is that a contributing factor to how slow this trading deadline is?
Yeah, I think to a degree. I think there's, you know, maybe a few more teams. I was, you know, talking to a scout last week in Washington, a guy from the San Francisco Giants, who was kind of saying, you know, that at this point we're like, I think there were 6 or 7 games behind at that point. He's kind of like, you know, it's, are we buyers or are we sellers? And, you know, it's hard to say. And there it was just, you know, a week or so before the deadline, and, you know, that team still hadn't fully decided which way it was going to go. So I think, yeah, in that sense, it makes the market, you know, a little bit more tough to crack. I think in some ways, too, I think it's just every now and then you have a market where there's just not a lot of talent available, not a lot of pieces spinning around. Some of it, too, is due to, you know, to teams' approach towards signing younger players. I mean, look at what the Pirates did with McCutchen, signing him up to a multi-year deal at a younger age. You know, it just makes it harder. You know, there's maybe less talent. I think this goes for the free agent market as well. There's just maybe less talent, premier talent out there and available than there has been, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Surprised that the Phillies probably are not going to move Cliff Lee?
Yes and no. I mean, he would be one of those guys that it would be a little bit difficult maybe to move him. Yeah, the market might be a little limited by the price tag and whatnot. At the same time, I mean, it's not like the Phillies are totally without hope, and I guess it depends upon which way they think they can build their team. If you know, some teams, you know, look at the Houston Astros, or they're moving guys and are really motivated just to acquire bundles of prospects, even if they're low-level guys, just to bring in a quantity of players, younger players, that they can flood their system with a little bit. You know, maybe assuming that only maybe one out of every 2 or 3 or 4 is going to actually stick and produce anything, or maybe even get the Triple A. You know, teams like the Phillies that are motivated in a different direction, maybe they have less rebuilding or more to rebuilding, different kind of. There's just so many factors that go into it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, take the factor of the Red Sox. They picked up Jake Peavy. Well, but that's because they're not sure about Clay Buchholz. So they have Buchholz. They may not make this trade. And that enters into it. The depth. One of the things when the new group came in, they talked extensively, Rob, about trying to build through the system. Compton comes in last night, and of course he started here in State College, and pitched brilliantly in Game 2 last night. They brought him in from Indianapolis. Was yesterday an example of the depth they've built?
Yeah, I think it's a good example of that. I mean, Compton was a guy who I think, you know, he was probably number 13 or so on the depth chart, you know, coming out of spring training. And it's, you know, a little bit of a victim of circumstance. They've had a number of guys go down with injuries, some guys flame out a little bit maybe. And he just, you know, he rose up. And I think, too, whenever they originally called him up to make a spot start, oh, gosh, was that May?
Yeah.
It all kind of runs together. And after
I know.
A while,
I understand.
You know, some of it was just timing on his part, too, that he was pitching well. And it was, you know, day they needed to fill was the day he was kind of ready to pitch. You know, the rotation and everything just worked out for him. And then he comes up and he does well. And he's made, you know, three or four starts now where he's pretty good. And that happens sometimes, you know, when you have a season kind of like this. You have guys who make those cameo appearances and really, you know, turn in a moment or two or three of importance, of game-changing kind of plays or whatnot. Or, you know, you have those kinds of things. You have weird, freaky plays. I mean, the Pirates have won a game on a walk-off error. They won a game on a walk-off hit batter. You know, things that you maybe don't, you know, see every day, every week, right. Every month. But those things pop up, and those kind of brilliant cameo appearances pop up in magical seasons.
Rob, to this point, when you have a really good season, and you have, quote, to use your words, in some ways a magical season, usually your stars are exactly who they are. They do exactly what you expect. Andrew McCutchen's having a really, really good year. Alvarez has stepped up his game and so forth. Marte's been really good. Have there been a couple players that you can identify that have made a difference that going into the season had been either a question mark or had not shown this to this point?
Yeah, I mean, the first guy that jumps to mind is Starling Marte. I mean, you knew that there was talent there, but there was a question of, you know, how would he do as a leadoff hitter? I mean, he's still, and even now, I mean, he's kind of in, I think he's in three or four out of his past 42, you know, that's
right.
Kind of slump going on. But for the most part, over the course of the entire season so far, I mean, he's been above what probably they expected as a leadoff guy. He's gotten on base more. Certainly made things happen when he's gotten on. I think he has answered the bell in a way that, you know, there was some doubt whether or not or how well he could do it. You look at a couple of those bullpen guys, Vin Lazaro,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, I remember when they picked him up in the offseason. It's a name you'd heard of, but you don't really know much about him. You don't expect much from him. And he was a guy who started, and I remember the day they sent him down to minor league camp in spring training. He came out of the manager's club, out of the manager's office, and he took. I mean, he was near the end of the line, so he was one of the final cuts, and he took it pretty hard at that point. He had pitched well in spring, really thought he had a chance, and he wanted to make it as a starter because that's what he had been his most of his career. So when they told him, you're going to go down to the minor leagues and we're going to use you as a reliever, he was angry about it. He was upset. And I remember Jason Grulli, Clint Hurdle called him over and talked to him for a second. And then Grulli went over and sat down next to Vin and talked to him, you know, kind of quietly for about 10, 15 minutes. And I asked Jason about it later. He says, I just told him, you know, you go down there and you take on this new role and you be the first guy called up and you be the best, you know, of what they're telling you to be. And he said, I remember at the time Jason said, we'll see how it turns out. Well, you know, he went down, excelled at Indy, and now he's come up and has really, you know, done an admirable job in the bullpen. It's been a couple of times he's been unhittable out there. He had that one stretch of I think it was a five-inning relief stint, no hit, you know, no run kind of situation. So really it stepped up above and beyond what I think a lot of people had expected from him.
No question about that. What is the word on Jason Grulli now? What did they tell you?
Well, Grulli, is saying that he expects to be back before the season is over.
That's kind of a wide range.
yeah. I mean, you know, I would, if he does, it's gonna. If he does make it back before the season over, I would expect it to be like with maybe a week or two left in the season.
Wow.
Kind of, and just enough time for him maybe to get a bit of a tune-up. I mean, it's an injury like this, you really need a month, you know, at least a couple of weeks, but probably a month of just resting and rehabbing it slowly so it doesn't flame up into something much worse. And then from there, once you do all that, now you're really back at square one. You're day one of spring training, really. I mean, you got to start a throwing program, you know, and that means you just play catch, soft toss, and then you long toss, and then you get on the mound for a bullpen session, and then you see how your body responds to that, and then you finally think about maybe going to a minor league rehab assignment. So, yeah, I could see it being a two-month, solid two-month injury before he is able to get back on a mound in a major league major league game. And for that, we're looking at mid-September, maybe that last week.
When Mark Melancon was in a role where he was counted on last year early with the Red Sox, he didn't handle it well at all. What's the difference in him mentally that allows him to handle a closer's role, which is slightly different than an eighth-inning role?
Yeah, I think that's still kind of to be determined if there is a difference a little bit. A lot of scouts, and I think the Pirates as well, see him as an eighth-inning guy. It's a good setup guy, but maybe not necessarily has enough stuff to be an everyday lights out ninth inning kind of guy. I think we're still learning, and I think he's still learning now what it's like to step into that role, because he realizes now he's going to be there probably for the balance of the season. And so far the results have been pretty good. He's still, there's still been a couple of times leadoff batter gets on, and you hate to see that, because that's a big red flag for any reliever, but most especially a closer. So, I think the jury is still out a little bit as to whether or not he can fully embrace that opportunity and succeed at the level at which the Pirates would hope, which is I think why they're casting around a little bit to look at different relief options. I know like Luke Gregerson out in San Diego is a name that's popped up a couple of times when I've talked to people, a guy who is a late inning kind of guy, and maybe you go to a committee kind of thing if you add some arms.
What's interesting, though, that the similarity about Melancon is that Grilly has gone into, I think, almost every game this season and had not inherited a runner. In other words, he had started every ninth inning he pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Melancon has not inherited a runner all season either. When he's gone out to pitch, it has been to start an inning. Mm-hmm. The comfort level of that is there is a slight change, because that's not going to be different.
Yeah, and that's something that I know that's one of Clint Hurdle's things, is that he hates to, especially with your later inning guys, your high leverage guys, he hates to bring them in the midst of something. It's always, any pitcher would tell you, it's easier to start with a clean slate. It's easier physically, it's easier mentally. And when there's a less high leverage, it's a less stress situation as well. I mean, a lot of times you can, be throwing the same, but just the mental stress and everything builds up wear and tear in your arm as well as just the mental approach to that.
Yeah, no question about that. Offensively, the numbers obviously belie the fact that they have the best record in baseball, but they picked up the 7 runs last week, albeit in a loss, but they came from behind and tied it, 7 runs against Washington. They pulled off the 9 runs the other night. Is it frustrating at times knowing that they have that capability to see so many low-scoring games?
Oh, certainly, yeah. And then that's, I think, their biggest flaw right now. I mean, they can score runs, but over the course of 162, you're going to have 20 or 30 games where you score a bunch and maybe even threat double digits. But you wonder if their offense is it good enough to get them a playoff spot or maybe even a division title over the course of 162 game season. I think it is. Is it good enough if you're in a one game loser go home playoff against the Cincinnati Reds? Is it good enough if you're in a best of 7 against the Tampa Bay Rays or Atlanta Braves? I don't know. I wonder about that. And that's why I think their biggest need is to find some ways, whether it's through importing players or what, to just not only get more guys on base, but to succeed, when they get guys on base. I mean, last night they had 2 leadoff triples in the late innings, and both times with the top of the order coming up, and both times the runner was stranded. You see things like that. Yeah, you can celebrate that. They busted out a little bit and scored some runs and won the game, but you hate to see, especially multiple situations in a game where you have what most people think is an easier run to score,
right?
And you don't get it.
One final thing, Rob, and then I'll let you go. Obviously, they're doing, they have the best record. They're in first place right now. Mm-hmm. Now, give us the idea. Fans have been, I hope they have a winning record. Now the fans are, I think they're going to make the playoffs. The importance of winning the division and avoiding the one-game playoff. Give us, you understand it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I there's obviously that advantage. I mean, not only with just the, you know, avoiding the high stress of that, you know, one game live or die situation, but just it gives you time to set up your pitching staff. It rests your bullpen, more, and especially if really is coming, you know, definitely coming back from a significant injury, you know, more rest can only be a good thing. There's just so many advantages to it. Just an extra day to kick around and relax. And because, you know, they're going to be soaking in the fact that, you know, if they do indeed go to the playoffs, you know, first time for a lot of these guys. And sometimes you really need to be able to absorb that for a day and not be overwhelmed with it. So, yeah, just, you know, I think getting the 82 wins and breaking that streak of losing seasons, that'll be great. But at this point, with all that has gone on, you know, a playoff berth, you know, is so much more important. And the division title on top of that is just paramount.
Rob, always a pleasure, my friend. It's always great talking with you, and not just about baseball, but on a variety of topics.
No problem, Steve. Take it easy, man.
All right, Rob Beertemple, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You okay there?
Yeah. I was just listening. I was listening intently because now I'm becoming a Pirates fan for the rest of the year.
We like to ease you back in.
Okay. But you know, I wanted to listen closely because I wanted to catch up on the Pirates because now I'm going to follow the Pirates for the rest of the year.
You're the one that told me I couldn't accept the Phillies Cup.
Yeah, but I was a free agent. I got traded before the deadline.
That's not the only thing you got traded for. All right.
I'm the player to be named later for the Pirates. I'm the fan to be named later.
They made the deal for $200 million cash, an Eskimo, and a kangaroo. All right.
That was a good deal.
I'll get back to you. Top of the hour news. Next hour, 800-795-9565. I want you to call all Kevin Herr questions next hour.
Oh, that'll get him waiting. That'll light up the phone lines.
Huh? Well, they're already ringing now on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.